It's always the fun part.
It's always the fun part. Background music.
Right.
The MTG Podcast is a virtual space for women and men in the tech and creative industries.
Tune in as we put it all on the table, sharing authentic life truths as we sustain and empower each other in search of our tribe.
We're more than a designer. We're more than our name badge. We're more than the work we produce.
Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast.
We're that tribe.
Welcome, everybody, to the More Than Graphics Podcast. I am Danielle, and today we've got some really cool, interesting dynamics happening today. One, it's solo day. I'm doing this by myself. And it's kind of a really cool, bittersweet moment because I don't get to do this a lot by myself. Usually my better half, Cicely, is right by my side. But today I actually have an extra bonus, a bonus, if you will, by having Lisa Peronzo on the show today. So in case you don't know, and in case you don't follow MTG, the podcast in any way, shape or form, let me give you a quick rundown. One, we are black on black on black plus girl parts with brains. That's kind of how we do it. And so I really tell people all the time, you know, what is your show? How do you break that down? That's it. So we talk about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about girl parts. We're going to talk about women in tech. We're going to talk about women creatives, us as entrepreneurs. And hey, all of you corporate ladies, I'm talking to you too, because we all know what it feels like to just kind of wear the name badge and be that placeholder from 9 to 5. And we want to be more than that. We want to address all those little aspects of life that we can grow to be better at what we do for ourselves beyond just doing it for other people. That's the whole purpose of the More Than Graphics Podcast. So this episode is all about perspire. Oh my Lord, perspire. We have so many things to perspire to. I have so many things I'm perspiring from. There's so many elements of perspire. We talk about perspiration and really what that details. So in my head and in my mind, I'm thinking of perspiration and perspire. I'm thinking of the hard work, the hard labor that we put into ourselves, other people around us, that gives us that good old sweat, right? That gives us that extra flingy feeling on our skin, maybe a little bit of perspiration that made us push a little bit harder to do something we weren't capable of doing before. So on top of all of this wonderful theme of perspire and perspiration, I have a guest who is literally the embodiment of perspiration in all the things. Lisa Peronzo has over 10 years of experience in the fitness industry. She has worked with a diverse population, including first responders, athletes, and adolescents. Her experience in the fitness industry has also included working with clients to rehab from a variety of injuries, from spinal cord injuries, brain injuries, recovery from childbirth, sports-related injuries, as well as joint replacements. Her focus is always to help her clients find their own strength and power from their fitness routine. She is a MBA, accredited Pilates instructor, senior trainer, certified CrossFit, certified kettlebell, and certified bear above instructor. What? Lisa also has a certification in paleo nutrition, a bachelor's degree in psychology, and a master's degree in human behavior. She is a contributing writer for the Health Web magazine, as well as Smartrepreneur magazine. In addition to being the founder and CEO of A Health Life, Lisa has been featured in various magazines and on podcasts, including San Diego Voyager magazine, Combat Divas, the poorly written podcast, and Radically Resilient. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you for having me. I don't think I've ever had somebody describe me as the embodiment of perspiration, but rest assured, I'm using that tomorrow when I teach class.
Heck yes, that's, girl, that's take happening. It all the way. Yes.
I'm like, I'm into that.
I absolutely love, first of all, your credentials say so much. When we talk about just the human experience, our bodies being pushed in a lot of different ways, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and for you to kind of be this really cool total package in a lot of ways for women, for men, for adolescents, for even elderly to really kind of embody what perspiration could mean for them. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a daily snapshot of kind of what you do on a regular basis?
It is literally different every single day. I have no 2 days that look the same right now, which is amazing. And part of the reason why I became an entrepreneur without realizing I was becoming an entrepreneur was to like have that variety. So what, let's, I can roll through today. Today hasn't been like super hectic. my daughter is on spring break and she is in a soccer camp. Talk about perspiration.
Good. Hey.
I picked her up yesterday and she was like, I'm so tired. And I was like, perfect.
Yes. Wear these kids out. Yes.
Yeah. Wear her out. I dropped her off at soccer camp, came home, did some content production because that content monster is a very real thing for me. Mm. I write all of my own stuff. I mean, obviously, right? recorded a podcast, a different podcast, with another very lovely host who I've had the pleasure of working with. Class prepped for my classes tomorrow that I'm training, picked up the kid, and then went and trained one. I don't have a lot of in-person clients right now because COVID changed that dynamic drastically.
Right.
Went and trained my one in-person client. It's very convenient. All transparency, it is my daughter's godmother. Her daughter is my goddaughter. So what? It works very well. Oh. I can take the child. I can say, go play. I literally walked in and was like, no watching TV. Neither of you are on a screen. You have $10 million worth of toys and a limitless imagination. Go use it.
Yes. I love this.
My goddaughter looked at me like, oh, that's sad. And I was like, girl, you go. We live in San Diego, girl. It is beautiful here today. It's like 70 degrees. I was like, go outside.
Wow.
Go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. I don't know what exactly they did, but nothing was on fire.
So, it's okay. Like,
came back here, did a little bit more work, and now I'm on with you. And then after this, it's going to be, you know, the wrap up of our day, dinner time and bath time and mom life.
Yes.
Best way to put it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't a hectic day in terms of hectic days and what that can look like for sure.
I gotcha. And I want to commend always women who are forthright about living that mom life. Because right now, after COVID, there's no excuse. Okay. Our slip's going to hang at some point. There's kids running around. There is. You know, both of us being moms and women affirmed in businesses, I feel like that's extremely important and a vulnerable part that we too share with parts of the outside world looking in, whether it's a Zoom meeting or a podcast recording, things along those lines. So we just, okay. We are open about that. You know, Cicely and I, we're both moms, special needs moms on top of that. And it's really important that we allow that space to just be. And for some, that's a little bit more of a harder place to tread. And we get that. But at the same time, especially after COVID, a lot of things had to go. The threshold just had to go down.
It really did. And, you know, for me, it's that like a lot of my clients are moms. And there's that commonality and understanding and being flexible and being adaptive. You know, when I teach my live classes 3 days a week on Mondays and Fridays, well, actually right now, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, I have to get my kid onto distance learning in the midst of teaching the class.
Right.
And I thank them all the time, like, thanks for letting me like plug her in, because the other piece of that is, you know, she's only six.
Mm-hmm.
So if she gets in and there's technology issues or there's a this or there's a that or whatever, she needs to come out and be able to access me for me to be able to help her. And I tell my clients all the time, like, thank you so much for like just being understanding of me. And all of them are like, dude, it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all good. Like, we know, like, this is, you are a parent and you are a parent first.
Yes, exactly. There's no apologies in some of these areas at all that I feel like need to be rendered even slightly. And that is something too, that I personally am doing more of, being more unapologetic for being a mom first, being more unapologetic and being, very affirmed in myself in a lot of areas. So we as women, we're taking up more space and it's being recognized and seen a little bit more.
Right. It's like that stepping into your power.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that stepping into your power from the standpoint of like, I am going to have limits and boundaries on my space, on my time, on my energy, on my emotion, on all of the things. And I am I am here for that movement. This movement of like true self-care and self-love and self-respect.
Yes.
I am completely here for that.
Absolutely.
I don't think I would be where I am today without having gone through the journey of recognizing that that's something I should never have to apologize for.
Exactly. Exactly. Take note, everybody. Please take notes, because this is the new norm. Okay. This is the new norm. Oh my goodness. Already before we even really get started with questions, all the things.
We're like, welcome to the new standard. Okay.
Check box. Yes. I love it. Okay. So going back a little bit more to your story, can you name a time or a situation where had you sweating? Because I know you sweat a lot already, but is there a certain situation or time in life that really had you sweating, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, okay. Well, we're just going to dive right in then. Okay. Like, we're not holding back. When I was 19, when I graduated high school, I went into ROTC for the Army. I'm sure that your listeners are fairly well familiar with that. Basically, it's like deferred enlistment.
Yes.
That you go to college first and then you serve your time in the military after. Anyways, when I was in ROTC, I got really severely hurt. I shattered, fractured, and dislocated my right foot on a training exercise was done. It was executed perfectly. I have a picture of myself like 10 feet before I landed, maybe 5. I don't really know. That day was a little blurry. Okay, it's fine. But it was executed perfectly. It was the most tragic of accidents. When my feet hit the ground, I landed on a rock.
Oh, man.
Not like, hey, hey, and Moana. I don't know. Right. I just watched that movie, so I'm here for the chicken. And it was crazy. The sweating part was predominantly that first week because we didn't know the extent of damage. We thought that my foot was just broken. Mm-hmm. Scans revealed more severe damage. When I say that on a CAT scan, my foot looked like cornflakes, I'm not exaggerating.
Holy cow. Serious.
And then holy cow. Now, mind you, by that point, when we were discovering all these things, I was on a drastic amount of pain meds. So things are a little bit blurry for me, and they have been filled in by my parents who walked this whole journey with me.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Right? Because then, like, your child never stops being your baby.
Right.
And that was so reaffirmed to me when I was hurt, because my mom left her job and took care of me. My dad continued to work so that they could have a source of income. Mm-hmm. My mom's job allowed her to go out on leave and do some like part-time stuff. And I couldn't be left alone. Mm. I could not weight bear. So it took about 3 doctors for me to find the doctor who actually knew how to fix me.
Wow.
Because the technology at the time that I got hurt was fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have to ask my mom if there was talk of amputation. I don't know if there was.
Mm.
Now I'm curious. You know, it was hazy.
Oh, goodness. But even then, that's super scary.
It was super, super scary. And it was, there was a long period of time where we didn't know whether or not I would walk again.
Mm.
I was very, very blessed and fortunate to find a doctor who was like my role model in what it meant to be an assertive woman. Mm-hmm. She's lovely. If you go on Yelp and you read her reviews, you're like, oh my goodness, this sounds like the meanest person ever. And I'm like, I love her. I'm like, do you see my face? Like, I love her. But it was literally living in like a time of straight chaos.
Mm.
I just didn't know what life would look like. I mean, I vaguely remember signing paperwork, talking about the risk of infection from the cadaver bone that I was going to be getting and the synthetic bone that I was going to be getting. I did not realize that when I woke up from my first surgery, I would have metal sticking out of my foot. Did not know that.
Oh,
forgot about that. But again, lots of pain meds.
Mm-hmm, right.
Modern medicine. Metal, by the way, I saved the metal.
Oh my gosh.
I totally saved it. Truth. The anesthesiologist for the second surgery when the metal was removed was like really cute. And I remember him popping wheelies in the OR and he was like, you should take the metal, keep it, and then turn it into a wind chime.
Oh my gosh, did you?
I have not been able to find someone who can do this for me. So everyone listening, you know, like a welder.
Yes, let's make this happen.
Who can like take this metal and turn it into a cool piece of art. That's my jam. Hook me up. Message me something.
Yes. Like,
if you are that person, I'm even more here for it. If it's a, you know, small business owned something, whatever, like I'm here to support small businesses because I am one, like reach out, please. But that was, it was perspiration at its finest. It was literally walking into the complete unknown.
Yeah.
And then once it got under control, it was like, okay, you know that you've made it through this trying time. What are you going to do with yourself now?
Yes. Even deeper question. And that is something that I'm sure where a lot of people are treading in that place where they've overcome some sort of, I don't want to say element of trauma, but just element of perspiration where they've had to go through something that was so pushing of themselves,
right?
And how to overcome and get on the other side of that. How do you move forward with that?
It's the pivot. Mm-hmm. It's having to make a pivot and not knowing what will be on the other side. And most of the time when we make pivots as, you know, becoming a parent, being a businesswoman, those sorts of things, you give yourself time to analyze the decision that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
You do the pros and cons list, whether you're writing it down or it's in your head,
right,
or you're speaking it to your dog. That's what I do. He's an amazing listener. You know, if it's the talking about it with your partner or your spouse, whatever that it looks like for you, you have time, because we're women, to overanalyze it and come up with 9 million hypothetical situations as to what could potentially, maybe, hopefully not, but maybe so, happen with the decision that you're making.
Right.
With mine, I didn't have that. I was running one day and the next I was not, less than 24 hours later.
Absolutely. That is crazy.
But then it was this, and in retrospect, amazing opportunity to be stuck in a bed and not have anything else to do except decide what I wanted my life to look like. Mm. And for me, that wasn't the practical speaking, like go to college, get a job, blah, blah, blah. And I did all those things. And I was actually in corporate America for a very long time. But it was the, how do I want to feel in my life? I went more to like the emotive, like the visceral thing that I wanted out of life, and not the like, how am I going to pay my rent? Probably I should have thought about that too. You know, I'm not, but for me, it was the like, how do I want to feel at the end of every day? How do I want to feel when I wake up in the morning? What energy do I want to give to the people around me? And thankfully, I was also surrounded by a team of people in addition to my family who were constantly like, what do you want the quality of your life to be like?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love this. And there are so many levels or layers, if you will, to what you're asking when you're asking that question of how do I want to feel? How do I want to be? How do I want to live? For a lot of us, when we're talking about, you know, working that 9 to 5 and being an entrepreneur or being in corporate America and sitting in that cubicle for 8 to 11 plus hours a day, only coming up for water and lunch.
Coming up.
And it's like, you know, when you think about, you know, how do I want my life to be? How do I want to live? Those type of big questions seem a little bit daunting, even far, far away than, you know, the relative computer or things that are surrounding us.
Those are the questions that you address for yourself when you're like in your mid-30s, right? But here I was 19 years old when I got hurt. So I was like 20 when I started going through this kind of like reflective process for myself in the midst of also really, really grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now that I was grieving. I didn't know then that I was walking the steps of grief. Like when I say that I had moments of just weeping, just weeping, and times of like screaming and wanting to throw stuff and hit stuff. I totally did. It took a very long time for me to get to a point where I was in complete acceptance of my body and the capabilities of my body, and that I could be respectful to myself. That's why I'm like the self-love thing, the self, like I'm here for all of that.
Yes.
Cause I did it that long ago. And I walked a hard way to get there.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I feel like you've built like so much of an empire, if you will, based upon those feelings and that platform of being through that experience. You perspired to a much, much more elevated place. So I kind of want to unpack that a little bit. Like, how maybe can you think when you think of aspire to perspire, if you will, that's the phrase that we thought of when we initially thought of this episode or themed piece in general. So when you think of that phrase, you know, clearly based upon your story, you know, what comes to mind when you're thinking about that, and how is that tying in now to what you've gone through to where you are currently now?
Aspiring to perspire. The thing for me was I had to learn how to empower myself from within. And I had to learn that me by myself was enough.
I love that.
Because when I, you know, like let's keep in mind, like contextually speaking and from like a societal standpoint, I got hurt in 2004. So when I got hurt and I started my healing process, the friends that I had who were military, were ROTC, were gearing up for war. A lot of them, they either like left ROTC and they went back with their Reserve or National Guard units and deployed from there before they even graduated college. A lot of them commissioned and went the officer route. It kind of went like all these ways. And, you know, the interwebs wasn't what, you know, YouTube wasn't really a thing in 2004. I think we had MySpace.
Oh, gosh.
I'm throwing it back real old school.
Oh, man.
But to be in contact with a person, you had to really make an effort. It wasn't even like a text message per se. It was picking up the phone, calling.
Yes.
You know, and so I was learning how to be okay with myself, by myself, because I was seeing my whole life change, my whole friend group change, and it was not to their fault. Their focus was on what they needed to go and do, and they needed to go and do that and be successful at that so that people could come home to their families.
Right.
Very much understand that and respect that. I was on a different path. I had to grieve all that loss. I had to grieve the loss of my mobility. I had to grieve the loss of the life I thought I was going to have. And then I had to figure out what I was going to do with myself.
Yes.
Whole time keeping my ego in check, that the things that I could do yesterday, I can't do today. Still can't. That's okay. I tell people now, if you see me running, which is the biggest contraindicated exercise for my injury, you better start running, because I am only running because I am being chased by like T-Rex. Okay, you need to start moving.
Oh my goodness.
But then it became this like now, and starting a healthful life and really getting into fitness always came from this place of the strength that the people that I trained saw in me, I always saw in them. Like we're mirrors of one another, but I wanted them to see that in themselves. So how can I get them to that place where they feel successful? They feel strong. They feel good to step into their power. Predominantly as I've trained a lot of men, but as women, that was my focus. Like as women, how can I get a woman to step into her power? Because that can be translated to every other aspect of life.
Right. Absolutely. I love that you said it in all the other areas of life, because once we learn something, we apply that to every other thing, right? That's what we do as women. When we figure out how to do the dishes 5 times faster, we apply that same efficiency in all the other areas of our life.
Efficiency. That's what we're here for.
I love that. So yes, I am right with you in that area. And I love the fact too that your story kind of brings about both the initial starting point, the middle point, and then I'm still going. I still have work to do. There's my story is not finished yet. Portion of that story or portion of the journey. And I think that's really, really valuable to our listeners right now as they're kind of perspiring to whatever level they're trying to achieve, whether that's a new level for work, whether that's a new level for the after five for their entrepreneur journey, whether that's aspiring educationally in their fields, whatever that may be. We all have to learn to kind of go through that journey, that starting journey, that middle journey, and then the I'm not done yet, I'm still going part of that journey. So what did you really want to be then growing up? What was your aspiration for that? I'm just curious now.
I'm gonna plot twist you real good on this one. I actually wanted to be a musician.
No way.
I started playing music. I wasn't even 10 years old. I started playing music, writing music, reading music. And I did that all through, I mean, really, even now, I still do. I took time off, obviously, when I got hurt. But I got a tremendous amount of opportunity. And I didn't want to be the like on the stage person. I wanted to be a studio musician.
Yes.
And I was talked out of it. My high school orchestra director told my parents that I did not have a thick enough skin to deal with the criticism that I would hear from the music industry. And convinced me otherwise.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am totally not kidding you.
Oh my goodness.
And I let it go. And, you know, I don't regret that at all. Like, it taught me that, again, I need to step into my own power and I need to have limits and boundaries on what I want. I didn't back then. I was like 17, 18. Like, who really has that then? Nobody has that then. I had to learn that for myself. But music has been that is the one thing that I do that is 1000% completely for me and nobody else. And I still do it. And the cool thing for me now is I can have it. It can be a source of fun, but I've also seen my daughter really take to it. I come from a family of people who are extremely musical, and my like immediate family, and then, you know, beyond that. And I have seen her step into her own with that.
I love that. I love how it echoes. Like, yeah. I really firmly believe that, you know, things sometimes that we are really passionate about that we didn't get to do, we get to see later people do it. We get to see echoes of ourselves do it in whatever shape or fashion that may be, whether it's our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren, our children. Yeah, I completely relate to that. That's awesome. I'd like to think that my cosplaying self loves to kind of pick up those little pieces and pass it on to my sons. One son in particular, who is very much into costume play and creating his own props and things along those lines. So all those technical theater backgrounds that I come from is definitely kind of dripping down into these later generations in their own way.
Right. I love that though. And I love seeing her explore that part of herself. I mean, music for me was I tell people like the stuff that I got to do when I was really, really heavy into it. And they're like, wow, I never would have thought that from you. Yeah, I mean, it was very cool. I got to tour Europe as a teenager by myself. Like, that's crazy. And also very trusting of my parents.
Kudos to parents. Like, yes.
like, that was a really cool experience for me to have and to be able to be comfortable being on stage and be comfortable doing all these things. It definitely still serves a purpose even now.
Absolutely. Same. I love the fact that I also too come from fine art background, and being able to use my creative skills has helped in all the other areas of life, as we do with all things for women. We pick up that skill and we apply it elsewhere. So I completely relate to that.
Professional multitaskers.
Yeah. Forever. I think that's going to be our, that's going to be our new sticker. that's just what we do.
We're gonna hashtag that.
Yes. I'm for it. Okay. So in terms of your consulting and your coaching, can you possibly share an element of your career where you had to, I don't want to say go through a hardship, but necessarily you did have to push yourself to get to a next level?
I mean, that was a creation of A Healthful Life. So I started A Healthful Life as a blog. I had a lot of clients. They were telling me, like, first they would tell me, you're the hardest instructor I've ever had, but you're the most motivational. And I would tell them, that's cool. I don't remember what I say when I teach. Still true. Then they would also say, we come to take your class and train with you because you're so funny. And they're coming for the entertainment value, which I'm about, because when you're working really hard, if you can laugh a little, it makes things easier.
Yes.
And they would say, like, your take on parenting is so funny. We need that. We need that levity, that lightheartedness, that kind of like joy that you can't take parenthood so seriously all of the time. When it's my daughter running through Trader Joe's at like 2 years old with a little cart telling mommy she needs to go into the wine section. That story's on the blog. So I started this blog, and then it got to the point where I knew I needed to give more, and I didn't know how to do that. And I needed help. And I got all of those things in place, but it was that pivot. I don't have a business background. I don't know how to do an online business. Never done this. I just know that I want to help the people around me be their best selves. And I feel in my heart that this is the way that I can do it. So how do I do it? But also, I have to be okay with putting myself out there for whatever might come my way.
I love that. That's a big part of preparation period, right? It's not only what did you do to get the sweat? You had to work. You had to put forth that effort, knowing that you didn't know what was going to happen. At some point, it could have flopped. It could have not. It could have grown. It could have not. But you won't know until you put in the work. So I love that part of your story. And I love that you're able to share so much inspiration today, just in general, like as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a coach, as someone who is, again, coming from a season of aspiration, but also living embodiment of aspiration. How much do you sweat a day? Like, I'm almost curious.
A lot. That's a lot. But please keep in mind, and I tell this to my clients all the time, because they'll make that comparison of like, I need to work out as much as you work out. And I don't like that.
Gotcha.
Because I get paid to do this. Like, this is my job. As I would expect, you know, I would pull a profession out of a hat. Like, if I would expect that person to be a subject matter expert in what they're getting paid to do and where they're spending the majority of the time, it should be the same expectation that's placed on me as well.
Yes.
So I am working out more than your average person. Yes, it is most of the time, multiple hours a day, several days a week. However, that is class prepping. That's prepping for private clients, because I have the agreement with my clients that I will not put them through anything I have not done to myself, because that's not fair.
Right.
And also my own personal workouts for my own personal means of my own fitness goals and what I want to have stronger and what I want to see change and what I know I need to work on in myself for mobility, flexibility, range of motion, long-term health, all those things. And then the workouts that I have that I'm like, I just want to do this workout because when I'm done, I want to feel like an Olympian. And that's how I want to go into my day to day.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I need to adapt this.
That's the killer workout.
I need to adapt this, because this is that's awesome. I want to feel like an Olympian every day.
Right. But that's how I also train people. Like, I want you to walk out of my presence and walk out of a workout with me being like, I am a badass.
Yes.
I can do this.
Yes.
Have that confidence and that pride.
Absolutely. Oh, I love this. Okay. I feel like it's so important when we talk about in general health and the range of health. There is a little bit of a stigma, as you kind of mentioned here, as a health professional, as someone who is trying to coach someone to be their best, to feel like a badass by the end of the day, right? I love all of that. But I also really am glad that you, again, address those stigmas, that you're addressing really the heart of what you do, because for a lot of people, they see, the beach body and they see the additional, systems and things that they could just instantly have. It's really that work on self that always comes, always the center of it. That's what we come back to on the show. So for women in tech and women creatives, this is a wonderful opportunity to not only match your inner fierceness, but have the outside kind of reflect that and level it out even in all the other areas of your life. So if this is something that is immediately speaking to you, I really encourage you to contact Lisa, because she's the real deal. I am absolutely inspired by your story, Lisa. And I really thank you for sharing it with all of our viewers today.
Oh, thank you. Well, and I do want to say, so this is like my thing with A Healthful Life, and this was my goal. I've been so blessed to have manifested my best life in yoga pants, really. But my true goal in this is to approach health and fitness and nutrition from the standpoint of every person being uniquely themselves. We all have like all these demands and stuff on our time, different things pulling at us, different goals that we have, and we're all coming at this from a different place. Mm-hmm. And this is my answer to avoiding the cookie cutter fitness solution. I don't want people to have that. I want people to have something that they know is uniquely theirs, and that they know that by the time they're done working with me, it's something they can take through the rest of their lives.
Yes. I love this.
I did include a freebie for you guys.
Yes. I was going to mention that next. You're on it.
but I have to like get my coaching hat on. So excuse me. because I appreciate everybody who gets to listen. I'm so appreciative to people when they let me guest on their podcast, right? Because I know how much time and effort it takes to go into production of all of these things. So there is a freebie. It is workouts. However, these are like foundational based workouts that are accessible to you from your home. I actually made this very pre-COVID. I will say that, but it's very applicable now during our pandemic time, because I don't know if your gym is open or not. And I don't know if the parameters under which it's open serve you. It might not. Right. And all of those feelings with that are completely valid. And I'm here for all of it. We're all in a different place right now, but your health is still important. So that being said, those workouts, you can make them harder. You can make them easier. You can adapt them around in whatever way works the best for you, your life, your goals, your time, all the things. However, this is the trainer hat. If you do something and you start working from a place of acute pain, or you want to level up and you're not sure how, or you need to adjust around, maybe you just had a baby and you don't know how to do it, don't keep those things to yourself. I can't stress it enough, because keeping it to yourself means you're not going to do it, and then it's never going to happen. Start the conversation with me. That's where those DMs on Instagram, they come in real handy. Send me a message. If it is workout related, I am the one who is handling that, not anybody else. I have the conversation. I will speak to you. I will tweak things for you. I will make it work however it will work the best for you. And I will also say, because you and I talked about this before we started recording, if you're listening and you're like, she's right up my alley. Some people I am, some people I'm not. It's okay either way. But if you're like, man, this is a solution that I really think would work for me. Mm-hmm. If you say that you listen to this, I will give you 20% off your first 3 months of coaching.
Wow.
And you get a free consultation with that. So don't mess around though.
Wow.
Because I do limit the number of private coaching spots that I have. I want to be able to give my people their absolute best. So if you into it, you better jump on it.
I love this. Thank you so much for sharing this, because I definitely know that people want this. They desire this. But sometimes they're not as prone to doing it without being, prodded or invited. So I'm really glad that you took that effort to just, hey, I'm talking to you.
Not me.
So for people who really want to know more about you and finding out more information about you, can you share how they can reach you?
Yes. So two easiest ways to do this are either through my website or through my Instagram. So the website link is www.ahealthfullife.org. And then my Instagram handle is my name, at Lisa Peronzo. I am more active on Instagram than I am on other social media platforms. That's the reason why I give that one out. But they link back to one another, right? Mm-hmm. So the website's got all the stuff on it. The link to the YouTube channel that has workouts on it. Application for coaching is on there. The Amazon store, all the printables that I've made. Some are free, some are not. Go check them out. The blog, yes. The recipes, the blah, blah, blah. And then the Instagram links back to that. If they want to really get in contact with me, DMs on Instagram are usually the fastest. However, tell me why you're doing it so that I don't delete your message request. I have to say that now, I guess, because there's some weird people trying to slide into the DMs and we're not here for that.
Yeah, for sure. Right on.
We're switching it up. The Flash Questionnaire 2.0 is in full effect. Check it out.
Your favorite international cuisine?
Oh, sushi.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah. All right. Favorite room in your house?
My kitchen.
Ooh, coffee or tea?
Both.
I love that. I don't think we've had that answer.
Like both, girl.
All right, Harry Potter or Star Wars?
Harry Potter, all day long.
Woo! Digital books or physical books?
Ooh, both.
Oh, see, this is me. All right. If all you right. could go back in time, where would you go and whom would you see?
Oh, shoot. You know what? I would honestly want to go back to my grandmother. I would want to go and meet her, like when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to go and, because I've had this awesome opportunity to have women in my life who are extremely progressive and strong and very much ahead of their time. She being at the forefront of that.
I love that. I love it. There's been several similar responses to, I want to see my ancestors in their prime. I want to see them deal with so many other things that I couldn't even comprehend that they had to take on, spearhead and push through. And they did it with flying colors. I love that. Okay. A gift you've recently received.
It was recently my birthday and the theme of my birthday was slippers. And I was completely about it. Oh, and this one is pretty awesome. My daughter and my husband got me a t-shirt and it is a corgi, because we have two corgis at home, riding a unicorn, riding a T-Rex with a rainbow behind it. And yes, I wear that all the time. It's my favorite shirt.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You so have to send us a picture and or something, because we have to like promote that.
I have a picture on my phone with me and the two corgis and me wearing the shirt and they're like not impressed. Jerks.
I gotta have it. Oh my gosh, that's a lot. That's hilarious. I love it. And shout out to all the corgi moms out there, because that's really awesome. We're all about that too. So the last question is, something you did in 2020 that you never thought you would.
In 2020, in the pandemic, I started teaching live Zoom workout classes.
Oh,
never
yeah.
in my life did I think I would do that. And now it's like next level. Mm-hmm. There's a mic involved. There's music involved. And then today, when you're an entrepreneur, the brain is always going. I was like, dude, I could do like music themed classes.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we're going for. And I think the first one's going to be Lizzo.
Yes. All right. I love her. She's all the things.
God, and she's got a phenomenal voice.
Yes.
Ridiculously like she's all the talented. Things with the talent.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And there's so many other Lizzos out there that's just not been discovered yet. And right? That's what she represents, right? Yes. That undiscovered talent out there in the world. Ladies, I see you. We see you. Yes. This has been an amazing, awesome conversation. Lisa, is there anything else additional that you would like to share with the audience today?
No, I just so appreciate being able to come on and connect with you again, because we had such a good first call too, and connect with your audience. I do want to meet your co-host, so
Yes, Cicely, we're gonna slide a DM, do something like Instagram chat. I'm a real person, and I want to talk to you.
Yes.
I love it. Okay. For everyone out there, thank you so much for listening to this episode on Perspire and Perspiration. I'm hoping, and the rest of us out here who are listening, I hope that you are getting some encouragement about how to perspire in your own journeys. So as women in tech and women in creatives, we want to continue to inspire our tribe. Thank you all for listening. We encourage you to rewatch this live episode as our Facebook watch party airs, and you can continue to follow More Than Graphics Podcast on Facebook. We'll catch you next time.
And just like that, the episode ends, but the convo has just begun.
Thanks for listening to the MDG podcast.
We want to hear from you. If you enjoyed our podcast, give it a review on your listening app of choice. Continue to follow our page
and look out for bonus content releases throughout the year. This podcast is produced by Octane Design Studios. Until next time.